Good morning. Do you have anything this morning that you can hope in? We are thankful for those who are here, for those who are visiting with us, and for those who are tuning in online. We're thankful that we can still provide that opportunity. We know that that is still getting a lot of good use, and so we are definitely thankful that we have many across this country and sometimes across the globe that are connecting at the same time for the same purpose, and that is to worship and praise our God. 24/7 access. That sounds like it would be some type of VIP package, some type of great thing that we would want, but we have 24-hour access to news, to information about what's going on around us, what's going on in the world. And, you know, we've had this in the past. It's not necessarily something new, but this last year with COVID and with most people, some still are, and at least everybody at one point in time, even if for a short period of time, we were all working from home. And so you still had your work duties, but you had, most of us had news, some form of news turned on. I mean, we were kind of trained that way to figure out what's the next thing. Is this going to get any worse? When's it going to get better? And so we were all plugged into what other people and what the world was telling us should be important, how, and based on what they said would dictate the mood and how we were in. But the true condition of the world is that it's been decaying and in trouble since a man and his wife ate some fruit they weren't supposed to eat. And so it should not come as a surprise to us that the world around us is in peril or is struggling or is longing for a creator. Over the past 12 months, you've probably heard statements like, I've lost hope in my town. You know, I've lost hope in this community. I've lost hope in my workplace. I've lost hope in religious leaders. I've lost hope in political figures, in the judicial system, just in the government in general. I've just lost hope. But we were never meant to find hope in any of those places to begin with. Those things, those people, were never meant to be the source of our hope as Christians. Amen. Our hope is what keeps us going. Not hope in the world, but our hope as Christians, as children of God, we have something far greater to put our hope in, put our trust in, and that's Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, suffering, automatically, the world says if we're suffering, we're not doing well. But as a Christian, suffering doesn't dictate how well we should be doing spiritually. And especially, we should count it all joy when we suffer, especially for righteousness' sake or for Christ. Reading on, it says, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. If we honor Christ the Lord as holy, and we put God first in our lives, then we should have hope. The reason for that hope is Christ. We are standing renewed, redeemed, and restored, not because of how great we've done in this world, and not because of how great this world is doing around us, but because of Christ alone, period. Anything this world has to offer is nothing and does nothing for us, yet we are saved, renewed, redeemed by the blood of Christ. So we have hope in Christ, and that means that life is perfect for us now, right? Everything is great and hunky-dory because we have hope in Christ. No, as we just read, we know that we will suffer for righteousness' sake. And if we are a true follower of God, we're told that we will face persecution in this life. We're not impervious from trials, from temptations, from experiencing sorrow in pain. In fact, we're warned to be ready for when it happens. There are times that it might feel instinctual to us, mostly and especially among the lost and the unbelievers, but it would feel instinctual to find yourself in a state of hopelessness, especially with that 24-hour access that we had talked about just a minute ago, how we learn this is going wrong and this isn't working well and these people don't like these people and this country's fighting this country and I'm supposed to not like my neighbor because they do or don't do something that I think, we think, they think we should do, and we've all been pitted against ourselves. So it's understandable that the world might find themselves in a state of hopelessness. Because we don't turn on the news and find just great stories all the time. It's always the worst of the worst of how the world is doing. But as we experience God's word, as we grow in our faith as Christians, this state of hopelessness should not be our first response. We should find hope where others feel abandoned and feel desperate. We still find ourselves wrestling with, though at times, nobody's going to be perfect at it. We find ourselves wrestling or sometimes even overcome with grief. This is when we are, or at least we appear to be, at our weakest, and usually we are. And this is when the enemy loves to creep in. When things seem hopeless, and he's there to remind us or to assure us, in fact, it is hopeless for you. And what's worse is we start to just doubt, but then some actually believe those words, believe those lies, and maybe start to question God's love, question his sovereignty or his goodness because of what's going on around us. We hear those words of the evil one, how could God really love you if he's going to let you go through this? Is God really good if he's not going to prevent these bad things from happening to you? This doesn't feel very agape to me. And those whispers just continue. And I would remind you that all of these things come from the one who knows best of all how to twist Scripture and distort God's word. John chapter 8 and verse 44, we're reminded just who our adversary is. The Jews that Jesus was talking to, he tells them that you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his character, out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. These Jews that he's talking to are rejecting the truth, and so he says, you are of your father the devil because he was a liar and you don't want the truth, so you're like him. And they were thinking evil thoughts about Christ as he's speaking to them, and he reminds them, yeah, your father was a murderer from the beginning as well. And he acted out of his own character, and you are acting like him. So those lies start creeping in. How can God be good in a situation that seems hopeless? You might as well just accept it, the enemy would say. You've been abandoned. Then for some, it gets worse. For some, they believe it. And that's where the enemy would love to keep you, sitting back, alone, hopeless, and accepting defeat. Sometimes the girls play with their toys all over the house. We all know that. That happens. Just what children do. They have a room, but that's the least fun place to play with their toys. They'd rather have them everywhere else. And so Brady would play with her toys, and inevitably one would get lost. She couldn't find it. And on that particular day, it happened to be her favorite toy, or it seemed like it. The world was over because she couldn't find something. She would come in, and she might plop down on the couch or wherever and just say, "The toy's lost. I can't find it. I don't know where it is, and you would think that this is the moment in which there's nothing worse could happen from now. And you ask, "Well, did you look for it?" And we know that this probably takes maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then at that point in time, it just can't be found. And so she lets us know that it needs to be found, or she can't find it, and so we offer to help, but she just stays there like it's just, "I don't even know why you're looking. It's just hopeless at this point in time." So she just wants to sit there and waller on the couch, and so we'll go look for it, and it won't be very much time at all, and then we end up finding it. But we typically tell her, "You're not just going to sit there. You're going to get up, and you're going to help me find this." And then we end up doing the same thing with God when things seem hopeless for us. We come in and we plop down. It's hopeless. There's nothing that can be done. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." We plop down. We say it's hopeless. Who's really given up here? Has God given up on us? Or have we given up on God? Have we sat back and decided we're not going to do anything? We're not going to fight? If God's letting me go through this, then nothing can be done. And he's ready and willing, but we're blind to it. We don't see it. We have access to hope. We have access to Scripture. Access to the promises of God, to the love of God, the God of all comfort, and the Prince of Peace. But are we even trying? Or have we sat back and given up hope? Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." The definition in Merriam-Webster for endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. Another definition is the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. To encourage, the definition is to inspire courage, spirit, or hope. And another definition is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. As one who might look to the world for their hope and realizing that it won't last, and this world is not something to hope in, we have access to true hope, to something that will not change, something that will always last and cannot be shaken. And through the Scriptures is where we find that hope as a Christian, not in the 24/7 access from the news stations, but we've got 24-hour-a-day access to the Father, who can provide and assure us of that hope. Part of the enemy's lies is to keep us in that position of hopelessness that we talked about, is to deceive us and, again, get us to believe that there's no hope and there's nothing that we could do. Some teaching, though, even among churches might think along similar lines, that the enemy, in the same way that the enemy might deceive us, in that we go through our struggles alone, that God will give us the strength, but then we're on our own when we actually go through the struggle. Sometimes we act like God is the parent who is dropping their kid off at school for the first day. Oftentimes a kid is having a hard time. As I become a parent, we have decided to homeschool our kids because we didn't even want to go through that. No, I'm just kidding. We went other reasons. But so we didn't actually have to go through that. But I remember, you know, thinking, I was worried for my younger brother. There was one year that he went to public school and he got on a bus, and I was thinking, who's going to take care of him? My parents, they're just willing to let him go off and just, he can't, this guy, he can't even, he gets hurt in his own room by himself, and we don't know what's going on. Anyway, so, but that's kind of where we put God in that position of he's got his children, and he wants to take care of them, and he wants to give them the skills necessary to survive on their own. And then when they actually go through the trouble, he just says, well, I'll be right here when it's over. You know, just let me know at the end of the day how it goes. Like he abandons us when we go through something difficult. Like he's not there and ready to help us. I want to hit a few verses real quick that we can maybe just jot down. You might not be able to speed flip through if you're, this will get you practicing. Your fingers either going on a smartphone or you'll be flipping pages. But I want to hit some real quick, and this just doesn't even scratch the surface of the constant message that we have that God is with those who seek him. He does not forsake us, and he does not abandon us. Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 says, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." Not after, not before times of trouble, and check on you afterwards. In time of trouble. "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not forsake those who seek you." And Psalm chapter 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Selah. Psalm 59, verse 16, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." And Nahum, one we don't get to talk about much, but even here in this minor prophet, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." Psalm 91, "He will call on me and I will answer him." This is the Lord. "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Hope can do so much for us. And God does not abandon us in our time of need. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance." We talked about endurance, enduring with the scriptures. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If we hope in Christ, we will not be abandoned, and we will not have the ability to find ourselves in a hopeless situation. We are not alone, whether in good times or bad. God is our refuge in times of trouble. In Romans 8, it reminds us that if God is for us, who can be against us? And farther down, Paul goes on to write in verse 38 of chapter 8, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you ever try to describe something to someone and you really want to make sure they get it? Like maybe they don't get it the first time. Sometimes, you know, my parents used to have to talk to me like this just over and over. Just in case you find any loophole, you won't. Because this, not this, not this, not this, nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of Christ. Unless it's ourselves that do it to us. Unless we believe in the enemy's lies. We look elsewhere. When we start looking to the world for our hope, we change our gaze. That's where we can find ourselves in that position. God wants our trust in him. Sand Springs worked with a couple of private donors and some, I think, public funds as well, and created the Case Community Park. Many of you have been there, and it's been a great opportunity for us, a great venue, as we've had the church picnic out there a couple of times, and we had a couple of teen area-wides, our Sunday Night Lives, we've had out there. It's a great space, and a few years back, they made a splash pad. It's a little bit bigger than the one that's on this side of the river, but it's great, a great resource. A lot of people use that. And so we used to go there quite a bit. And when Presley was younger, she really enjoyed it. Brady's not so much a fan of water being shot at her, but Presley's more of a fan. And so Brady was young at the time, and I believe couldn't even walk at the time. But she got to soak up the sun and watch her sister run around. And so if you've ever been there, there's a large bucket that fills up with water constantly. There's a little ramp that's underneath it. And then over time, it gets too full, and then the weight is distributed unbalanced. And so this thing tumps over, and the water comes rushing off and drops down all over the place. And so I was trying to convince Presley, my oldest daughter, who I think was 3 at the time, and so I was trying to convince her to, let's go try that. Go underneath there. I'll look at all those kids. They're all having fun. Go over here and experience that. And she was like, no way, Jose, that ain't for me. And so this kind of went on for a little bit. I said, oh, you can do it. You can do it. No. I said, you'll be fine. You'll be okay. And she said, no. And I said, well, I'll make sure nothing happens. I'll go with you over there. And she turned to me and she asked me, as only a child can do, and she said, Daddy, hold me. So I picked her up, trying to keep everything contained here. I picked her up and I took her over there, and at that point in time, she was calm because I had her and she trusted in me that whatever was going to happen, I was going to take care of her. She knew that she felt safe at that point in time. God wants that trust from us. Amen. That trust when we're going through something difficult and something seems dangerous and everyone else is telling us that this is hopeless. In the spirit of adoption, he wants us to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, hold me, because I can't go through this by myself. But oftentimes we're entangled by the things of the world, and we're looking to these other things that are supposed to provide us that peace and that comfort. Maybe you're like, you find yourself in a situation like the Samaritan woman, who in the story we read about her, for, to us she's nameless, but Christ wanted to give her a new name. She had been turning to things, physical things, temporary things, to bring her hope, to bring her comfort, and to bring her peace. And yet there was one who could provide her with everlasting peace. She was still seeking after those temporary things, and Christ was there to give her something eternal. Still thinking in physical terms, she turned and looked at Christ and said, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? Don't some of us do that with God? God is here to help us, to give us hope. And we say, well, this drink makes me happy. Are you saying you're better than this drink? These drugs give me comfort. God, are you better than these drugs? Whatever sinful, worldly, temporary pleasure that we chased after, at the end of the day, we're just still going to be continually chasing, because we'll never find rest in anything other than Christ. This woman was hopeless, looking at physical things. Are you greater than Jacob? our Father who gave us this well? Jesus replied to her, everyone who drinks of this well will be thirsty again, continually chasing. But whoever drinks of the water that I would give him would never thirst again. Let us hold fast to our confession of hope, which is in Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with the words to our invitation song today. Maybe where you're at today, you're struggling, maybe in despair, feeling hopeless. Maybe you're here for such a time as this. Maybe you need hope in something that will not let you down. And maybe you find that hope in God and someone would see you, would see the change take place in the days going forward. And someone would see your transformation and how you overcame. And they would say, this doesn't make sense. I know their struggles. I know their difficult circumstances. And I know the hurt that they're going through. How can they have hope? By all accounts, in this world, they should be in utter despair. How can this be? It's because their hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness hides his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. If that's you today, if you're searching for hope, it can be found in Christ alone as you enter into the kingdom of God, a new person by obeying the gospel through baptism. Or if there's a hurt or other struggles or obstacles in your way, in your life, whatever it is, if we can help you, we ask that you come as we stand and sing together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not.